message in our series, or at least as far as my sharing. Next week is our Youth Sunday. And Elder Bobby will be sharing. And so... Oh, yes, they are. They're just messing with you. But this morning we're wrapping up our series on privileged partners. All month we've been talking about how God has not only saved us, not only given us a secure eternity, not only prepared the by and by for us, which is enough, because Jesus said when the disciples came back from a wonderful spiritual victory, he said, "Nevertheless, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In other words, that fact trumps every other blessing. That if you have nothing else, if everything goes wrong for the rest of your life, or if everything goes right, if all the lights are green for as long as you drive, and the parking spots are near, and the last sale item is still there for you, thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, don't rejoice that you have that sales item. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And of course, that's a comparative sense. He's not saying don't be thankful for the things that God bestows upon us in this life. But keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on what matters most, because heaven and earth is going to pass. The glory of this earth is going to fade away just as certainly as this service will end today. So the earth will pass away. Just as certain as by a certain time every seat in here will be empty, everything that we see around us will be leveled. The elements will melt, the scripture says. And so it is to our benefit, and it is wisdom, that we set our hope completely on that day, and that we remember that the greatest blessing of all has been given to us already, even before any others reveal themselves or God unfolds them before us. But we're looking at, not only has God secured our eternity, but he wants to be involved with us intimately and intricately in this life, day by day. He's not just waiting in heaven for us to arrive. No, I am going to be with you. I am going to be in you. I am going to work through you while you are here. We're going to enjoy a partnership as you walk through this life to eternity. You and I are going to be buds. You and I are going to be dogs. You and I are going to be partners. We are going to work together to see some stuff happen. And that means you. 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 So, this morning's message is titled, Getting Our Role Straight in Our Partnership with the Lord. Getting our role straight in our partnership with the Lord. You see, if this partnership is going to work smoothly, then we need to understand our roles and get them straight. Stay in our lane, as it's commonly thought of today. And we're going to look at a rich passage from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To help to develop this idea of staying in our lane or getting our role straight in our partnership with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. If you're taking notes, the main idea this morning is this thing called life, called God's work. This is God's show. This is God's show. He's the sponsor, the director, and the star. This is God's show. He's the sponsor, the director, and the star. This is his show. He's the director. He's the sponsor. He's the star. And as we look at the passage that we just read, one of the reasons why I think this passage is so rich is because it just bubbles forth with all that God is doing and that all that God set in motion. It is a passage that illustrates that it is God's show, that he's the one doing this, and we're along for the ride. That we are participants, but he's the catalyst. He's the active force. He's the star of the show. He's the sponsor. He's the director. So in verse 1, Paul said, starting with himself, he says, I was called to be an apostle. Paul said, I am Paul, called to be an apostle. I didn't go chasing after God. He chased after me. I was heading in a direction that was completely contrary to what God had in mind. And he changed the program and called me to be an apostle. We need to keep in mind who's writing this letter. Paul, called to be an apostle. Formerly Saul, the persecutor of the church. That was Paul's idea. Paul's label, I was fiercely persecuting the church. I was an enemy of the cross of Christ. That's how he described himself. But something happened, and it wasn't that Paul changed his mind. Somebody called him. Literally from heaven, and said, hey, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up, and it'll be told to you what you will have to do. And from that moment on, Saul became Paul, and here he describes himself now as one who was called. God started this with him. It goes on, it says, you've been called. You and I have been called, set apart to be God's partners. And everybody else, everywhere who calls on the name of Jesus, maybe not as dramatically, but just as specifically, were called by God. Maybe not as dramatically as Saul was. But each one of us in this room and everyone everywhere who calls on the name of the Lord was called for the specific purpose of being set apart, it says, set apart for his purposes. We were at Johns Hopkins this past week for my wife's six-month checkup. And the woman who takes Laverne's vitals is always so peppy, so spry, so full of energy, always a big smile and just lots of animation. Sort of like she's had too much coffee. So, you know, I was just sitting there in the exam room with Laverne there, and I just said to her, I said, what is the secret of your effervescence? And she turned and said very quickly, without hesitation, Jesus Christ. And then she was leaving when I asked the question, so she walks out and she shuts the door, and I hear her outside, the one and only. Now, full disclosure, she has some issues. We could kind of tell by the way she was operating with folks. But she knew Jesus. He was still working on her, just as he's still working on us, right? You see, you don't have to not have issues to belong to Jesus. Didn't say Paul didn't. Paul didn't say, I no longer have issues, and we're going to have issues. And she had issues. But she knew who she belonged to, and she knew who was the spark in her flame. She knew who was the driving force in her energy. She knew she'd been called by him. So she very quickly said, Jesus Christ. Right about now, Michigan State is tipping off. They're playing Virginia right now, noon tip-off. So let us close in prayer. When I saw the tip-off time, I said, I think I'm getting sick. But I said, Lord, just for you, I'll do it. But if you are watching that game, Michigan State's starting point guard, or actually their two guard, named Travis Trice. And I was watching him at the end of a big game being interviewed, and they asked him, say, Travis, you guys really turned it on afterwards. I mean, you turned on the afterburners, and you really brought it home. What was the secret? He said, well, first of all, I got to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for making it possible for me to even be here playing basketball. But, yeah, we had a real strong defense, and blah, blah, he just went on. I said, you go, Travis. You go, Travis. Now, the point of what I'm saying is not that when someone asks us a question that what has to pop out of our mouth is Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's not even the right thing. It's not the appropriate thing. It's probably better to say nothing. And we have to be sensitive to where God has us at the moment in that. But the point is that no matter what your uniform is, no matter what your walk of life may be, you will see that there are people who have been called by God to belong to Jesus Christ, and they recognize that despite whatever exterior thing they may be displaying, whether it's in the medical world or the professional world or what have you, something else is going on besides and behind and beyond and deeper than what other people may see. And this is what it means to be called by Jesus Christ. He's calling people from all walks. He called, thank God, one day he called Frenchie. He called Dan Beatty masquerading as Frenchie. He called me when I wasn't thinking about him. He started this thing rolling. If you're in Christ, he called you. You didn't call him. You say, well, I called on Jesus. Why do you think you did? Why do you think you did? He's been chasing you all your life, trying to get your attention all your life. You just responded. So God is the one who started. It's his show. He's the one that got this thing rolling in the first place. In verse 4, Paul said, I thank God because he's given you grace. The status that we have, the favor that we have, that was God's idea to cover us with his grace and his favor. In verse 5, it says, he's enriched your life in every way. It says your speaking has been enriched. The things you talk about have been enriched by him. The fellowship that we enjoy when we're talking about Jesus and we're excited about that, the things we're talking about, the things you know, it says your knowledge has been enriched by him. You think you just thought this up? You think you're that brilliant? We're not that brilliant. We're not that smart. The spiritual things that we see and understand and the things that minister to us, the words that otherwise would have been dead on a page, the conversation that sounds like just gibberish between religious people that we understand, it is because we've been enriched by him. Our knowledge has been enriched. Our speech has been enriched. God did this. He's the one that has given us understanding, opened our eyes, opened our mouths, opened the way that we think. In verse 6, it says that this has been confirmed by your personal experience. Paul said, we came and we talked to you about Jesus, but it wasn't just us talking about it. You see? And me, I stand here and I speak to you week after week, but it's not just me talking about this. It's what God is confirming in your own life. What brings you back is God confirming it in you. And so Paul said, our testimony, what we shared about Jesus, that was one thing, but what's really going on is God confirmed it in you. It's been confirmed in you by him that this is true, that he is true, that this is real. This is not just talk. There's something about this. There's substance to this spirituality. But he did it. God is the one who made this happen. And it says in verse 8, not only did he go to all the trouble to get you into the kingdom and to supply you, but he's the one who's going to keep you strong to the end. Verse 9 tells us why. Because God, who called you into fellowship with his son Jesus Christ, is faithful. That's why. Because he is faithful. You know, it says we've been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. We've not just been given religious instructions. We've not been called into religion. We've been called into fellowship with Jesus. Very important. We've been called into fellowship with the living Jesus Christ. You've not just been called and separated to follow religious decrees. That is not, you've been called to be in fellowship. Fellowship means sharing life with. Sharing, you've been called to share life with Jesus Christ. You've been called to have him share his life with you. And you share your life with him. Fellowship. Difference between being religious and being in Christ is religion is more about my practice. while being in Christ means that he is active in my person, that something is happening in me. Changes are taking place in me. I'm not just affecting changes in my life. Something is being done inside of me by the living Jesus Christ. I'm not just executing religious duties. That's religion. On the other hand, God is the one creating this impetus, this catalyst. He's the one doing the work from the inside out, and you've been called into fellowship with him so he can share his life in you and through you. Thank you, Jesus. It's personal. It's personal, in other words. It's personal. He's in partnership with you. He's in partnership with me. Sharing his life with me, the life that he lived on earth. And he shares that with us. And because of that, we can expect the life that we're living, and as he continues to work his way and his will in us, as our fellowship with Jesus grows, as our relationship with Christ grows, as our knowledge of who he is grows, as this thing called our walk of faith becomes more and more personal, more and more intimate, more and more connected with him, we can expect that our lives will then begin to reflect his values. If he's sharing his life with us, then we can expect that our lives will then begin to reflect his values, the values that we read about in Scripture, in the Gospels. We will begin to expect that our lives would begin to reflect sort of the same things that Jesus' life reflected. Not because we're trying to do it, but because he's doing it in us. Not what would Jesus do, it's what is Jesus doing. You hear what I'm saying? Not what would Jesus do, that takes us back to the precepts and trying to make it happen. What is Jesus doing is really the bigger question. Lord, what are you up to in my life? Because this passage tells us that he's the one doing it. It's his show. So rather than trying to make it happen on my own, I want to get in sync with you, Lord, and ask the question, where are you working? What are you doing? How can I get on board with what you are doing in me? How can I get in the jet stream of what you're doing in my life and through my life? So as we see him reflecting his values in us, we can look for these things. Fellowship, number one, fellowship with the Lord means winning, winning, winning. Jesus said to his disciples when he called them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if we are growing in our fellowship with Christ, we can expect that there will be a dimension of our life that is concerned about people who don't know Jesus Christ. That will grow in us. It doesn't mean everybody's going to knock on doors and be evangelists. But as our fellowship with Jesus Christ grows, so does our understanding that there are people on this earth who do not know Jesus. And they need Jesus Christ. They don't need religion. They need Jesus Christ. And that passion will reflect itself in any number of ways. It may mean knocking on doors. Even if you don't think you're a door knocker, God may have a different plan for you. Don't be surprised if you're knocking on doors and saying to somebody, I never knocked on doors before. Just as Paul should not have been surprised once Jesus entered, that he now was no longer Saul, but Paul. So we can expect that it will be a life that is characterized by winning other people or being concerned about the fact that there are people who don't know Jesus Christ. I want you to consider as we read this. I wrote this last week, The View from My Place. Some of you got this in our newsletter, but I want you to just turn to this with me, and I want you to consider these words as I read them, okay? Yes, it's I guess next to the last page, near the end of the, is it the next to the, yeah, it's the next to the last page in your bulletin. Yes, I see the cultural trends. I see them. I'm aware of the assaults on faith. I, too, am often frustrated about how anything that smacks of biblical morality is considered puritanical. And anyone who suggests that we would all be better off doing life God's way is considered intolerant and judgmental. We live in a time when each person wants to be his or her own God. And nobody better try to tell me what to do. Yeah, I've noticed, and it bothers me too. However, I also believe that like Peter walking on the water, we Christians would do well to not fear the anti-God cultural waves and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's his show. Let us never succumb to the notion that the problems and attitudes of the world are greater than his plans and his power. Let us live in the true hope that God is greater than the one who is sowing disillusionment among our young people and leading the whole world astray. The truth is always the truth, no matter how it may be distorted, no matter how deeply it is buried, no matter how vigorously it is denied, resisted, or railed against. The truth is always the truth, and Jesus is the truth. Despite all the thunder and rain of opposition, he continues to build his church, touching life after life of those who formerly ignored, resisted, or denied him. And that is what some of you were. Amen? Amen? But you were washed. Not you washed yourself. You were sanctified. You didn't sanctify yourself. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So even as we live in a tempest of God aversion, let us trust in the one who can speak to every stormy heart, peace, be still. And let us also remember how the story ends. Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. God is winning. He's taking us along. May not look like he's winning, but God is winning. He is winning people to himself. He's building his kingdom day by day. People are coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. Every day. And he is using us to facilitate that happening in one way or another. So as our fellowship with him grows, it will mean winning. In Sunday school, we were talking about how the Lord prompts us to say things that we didn't expect to say. I remember writing, it must have been significant because in my journal I wrote, on 3/22/90, that was 25 years ago today, as I approached the man who was walking his dog, I had no idea what I would say to him. I said, good morning, and he returned the greeting. Then I said, it's a beautiful day God has given to us, isn't it? And he said, yes, it is. I was amazed. I hadn't planned to say anything religious, but prior to speaking to him, my heart was filled with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Indeed, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart and that and from that which God prompts. God will work and is working in our hearts and our lives in surprising ways to bring forth his praises. It says, you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light that you may proclaim his excellencies. This is what he's working in us. Secondly, as we fellowship with him, we can expect that fellowship with the Lord means building up his church, building up one another. Brother Gary was marveling at our leaders meeting, and he was going on and excited, and the excitement was building as he was talking about how the Lord had impressed upon his heart how marvelous it is that he wants to use each one of us as a part of his body to encourage one another. Now, that may not sound like a highlight of a truth to you. It may not sound like an aha to you. Sure. Okay, so what's the big deal, Gary? Why are you so excited? Didn't you know that? Why are you just glittering and glowing and going on and on and on about how God is used? And he's fascinated. He's using each one of us. And I'm sitting there listening, and how many times have you heard me say that? What are you talking about? But I know what was going on. You know what was going on? The Lord does this. He takes a familiar truth with every one of us, and he slightly turns it, and you wind up on a completely different corridor with that same truth, and you see stuff that you didn't see before. Say, wait a minute, how'd that get in there? And he gave that to Gary to give to us. And so Gary shared that, and he built us up with that truth. The Lord wanted to speak that to us through Gary, to build us up. So he made that truth come alive and ignited it in him. And what was familiar to us was a passion for him, because we needed to hear it. And we needed to be reminded. And we might have walked out of there thinking, okay, well, that wasn't, well, you don't know how deeply that has influenced, or how the Lord has used that to steer you just a little bit. And he does that through each one of us. And it is amazing when you think about that. It's not always that something bangs you on the head and you see stars. Sometimes it's just a nudge. It's just a reminder. Or it's an affirmation for something that you've done. And you say, wow, thank you, Lord, for that. So he uses each one of us to build up his body. And let me just say this point blank. Pray for one another. You know, pray for one another. I appreciated when I got this prayer request that came to everybody where we were requested to pray for someone. You know, you can't pray for everybody every day. You can't do it. But every one of us can pray for somebody every day. So when you think about building people up, it's not always about what you share with them. It's what you tell God about them sometimes. It's just pray for them. Lift them up. Lift me up. I lift you up. When I'm thinking about you, I lift you up before the Lord. Pray for one another. The scripture is filled with this. When we think about building, think about praying for one another. And thirdly, fellowship with the Lord means mystery. I like this. You see, this partnership we have with him, this is a mystery, because we don't know what the Lord's going to call upon us to do, or when he's going to call, or even where. It's a mystery how he does what he does. It's enchanting. It's fascinating. One of our Sunday school lessons, that was the word. We just looked at the word fascinating. That was the whole lesson, fascinating. And we had a definition underneath it of fascinating. And we asked ourselves in the class, how often do we apply this to our relationship and our fellowship with the living God? How often do we think of it as being fascinating? It really is. That he would live inside of us and work through us and be present in us is simply a fascinating truth. And then finally, fellowship with the Lord means connecting. Connecting. First reference you can write down is John 15:5, where Jesus says, apart from me, abide in me. Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. In a partnership, communication is critical. Being connected is critical. Operational precision depends on clear and ongoing communication. And so how do we maximize clarity of communication and connection? How do we maximize that? It's really not complicated. We maximize it by spending time with Him. By spending time with Him. Letting Him share His heart, His thoughts with us. Letting Him sensitize our spirits. Just hanging out with Him. Being with Him. I call it unscripted being. You ever have any times of unscripted being with the Lord? You don't have a script. You're just being. Just being. I was thinking about that when I wrote this in my journal, The Master's Gallery. I want you to imagine a painting that hangs on the wall and the pleasure that it brings its owner just by hanging there. Sometimes the Lord just wants us to hang in His presence for a while, to just consciously allow Him to behold us, because you are a mesmerizing masterpiece in His gallery. And He enjoys you without you always having to be doing something all the time. You don't always have to be coming up with something brilliant all the time. You don't have to be coming out of there just walking on air. Sometimes He just wants to hang out with you, just as a father just wants to hang out with his son or his daughter. He enjoys being with you. Just tell Him you're setting aside a few minutes to hang out in His presence and focus on who He is. Because the Scripture says the Lord takes pleasure in His people. You bring Him pleasure. So, Lord, You could not love me more. And I think I'm pursuing You, when in reality, I'm just responding to Your call, to Your initiation. My desire is to be faithful, but that's a result of Your faithfulness. You've been working while I've been asleep. You've been thinking of me when You were the last thing on my mind. You chose me. I did not choose You. We love because He first loved us. And that's where, oh, how I love Jesus came from. Because He first loved me. He was loving me, and He was loving you with His dying breath before you were even born. You know the old song, you can't beat God's giving, no matter how you try? You can't beat God's loving, no matter how you try. No matter how inspired we are to love God, it pales in comparison to His love for us. It's His show. We're along for the ride. And we're going to take some time now and thank Him for being the sponsor, for being the star and the director of His show by communion.